Marilyn.
And I'm Abby, her BFF.
We're in Riverfront Playhouse's production of Ripcord by David Lindsay Abaire, directed by John Welch.
March 7th through the 23rd, join us for this hilarious comedy about feisty elderly women.
Us, who become roommates in a retirement community. See how our comic, playful rivalry leads to a series of funny and unexpected pranks.
Grab your tickets now at RiverfrontPlayhouse.net. Sponsored by this station and these amazing pro arts businesses.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I do appreciate your time. I think you're going to enjoy this. In fact, I know you're going to enjoy this because we got Ashley Hinson. She is the congresswoman from Iowa. She's, I think, in her third term, and she's now on the Appropriations Committee. But look, she works hard. She works smart. I really do like her. Probably wouldn't vote exactly like her on everything, but that's what it's all about. You get good quality people who do things. You know, she's got this great, wonderful, beautiful family, and she's pouring her heart and soul into things, and I think it's good. So we're going to talk a little bit about the news. I'm going to highlight the stupid because there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. There's no shortage of that, especially this week. And then we're going to get into the conversation about what's going on, what's not going on, what's Congress doing, what are they not doing, and it is volatile. It is always moving at a rapid speed. So anyway, I want to talk first of all about the State of the Union. Now, I have been to, well, joint session of Congress, if you're going to be technical about it. I have been to 10 of these. I went to 8 with Barack Obama as the president, and I've been to 2 with Donald Trump as the president. I was not at this most recent one, but I did watch it all. And having been on the floor, I can tell you that it gets almost infuriating the way many of these people act so immaturish. First of all, it's a tremendous privilege to be on the floor of the House. To be a representative, to be a senator is a privilege, and it is an honor. And in the case of a member of the House of Representatives, you're representing some 800,000 people. The way our framers or founders really set it up is that there was going to be this time where the president would report to Congress, so they would have a good, open, candid dialogue. Again, the first 8 years that I was in Congress, it was all Barack Obama. But you know what? When he walked in the room, I stood up and I applauded. May have been more of a golf clap than enthusiastic, but I still applauded. When the first lady walked in down the stairs to sit up on the balcony, I applauded that. When there was an ordinary American, if you will, that did something extraordinary, of course I stood up and applauded. And when there were policy issues that I happened to agree with, I would stand up and applaud. So, for instance, Barack Obama talked about earmarks. He wanted to get rid of earmarks. I was unique on the Republican side of the aisle. That was kind of the minority position, but I thought it was the right position, and I think most conservatives would say, yeah, that was the right position. When President Obama talked about getting rid of earmarks, I stood up and applauded. Now, full story, Obama got rid of that ban and put in some like 10,000 plus earmarks is my recollection. I hope I have that number right. Somebody will double check me, I'm sure. My apologies if I got it wrong, but it was something like that. It was an absurd number. And, you know, I applauded those things. Now, if I disagreed, I didn't stand or I didn't applaud. But what I could always come together on is the flag, the country, our troops, the need to support our military, first responders, people who've gone through horrific things, overcome challenges. But then it all changed. When Donald Trump became the president, I remember sitting there and watching the Democrats who wouldn't even stand when the president entered the room. That when the first lady came down, they couldn't clap or stand or be polite. And at this last joint session of Congress, Democrats had already made up their mind. They had decided that they were going to be the resistance. In fact, I saw 2 Democratic members who somehow went to the mall or got some staffer to go buy some black t-shirts and write the words resistance on the back so they could dramatically walk out, have the camera show, oh, it's the resistance. Resistance to what? You lost an election. It was overwhelming. Donald Trump got the majority. He blew him out in all of the swing states. I mean, the gentleman, the president, he has a mandate. You can't really argue about that. And if you do argue about it, you're really on the wrong side of history because he does have a mandate. You may not like all of that, but as Barack Obama used to say, elections have consequences. And so that was one of the consequences. And again, what Donald Trump has done masterfully is, I think, really been able to personify and to understand and be empathetic to the average person in America and to some of the downtrodden who are facing major challenges in their lives. You can disagree with Donald Trump on a lot of things, but his authenticity is winning the day. He does tell you exactly what he's thinking when he's thinking it. He has been the most open and transparent president we have ever had. Sometimes to a fault, some would argue. I wouldn't. I think it's just refreshing. It's what we want in a president. We had, as you know, if you listen to the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we had Peter Ducey on. And I think the president, on his going out to see what happened with the wildfires in California, had made himself available 11 times to the national media. 11 times. They were like running out of questions. He had those meetings with president of Ukraine and Zelensky. They did it all in front of the cameras. How refreshing. That should be applauded. But nevertheless, Donald Trump, what he's done is he's taken these core issues, these 80-20 issues, these easy to understand common sense issues, and the Democrats are now the resistance, so they're immediately the opposite of it. So if Donald Trump says he likes the flag, they hate the flag. If he says, oh, we're going to recognize a 13-year-old cancer victim who's had multiple surgeries, oh, we're got to be opposed to that. If we have a 95-year-old woman who meets Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, talks about her son who's being held hostage, and 10 minutes later the president is shot on stage, and then he still, once he gets into office, is able to get that son out of prison, that's an amazing American story. I thought at the joint session of Congress, and you've all probably seen or heard it at this point, but as DJ got his surgeries and been deputized by numerous police forces to be deputized by the United States Secret Service, and the joy and how proud he was of that. But then if you remember, there was another young man, six varsity letters, a 4.4 GPA, wants to go to West Point, and the president announces to him there, spontaneous to him, that he was going to get into West Point. And remember what happened? Probably one of the most organic, neatest moments is DJ came over and gave the kid a high five. That's as American as it gets. What really, really bothered me is when you had Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the congresswoman from Florida, cancer victim herself, somebody I actually joined with to highlight the idea of breast cancer awareness and cancer. You know, I lost my mom to breast cancer. I lost my father to colon cancer. And for her to just sit on her hands, literally not even clap, let alone stand, when that young man, an inspiration to now millions of people, that is just so fundamentally wrong. It's just, I think, anti-American. I can understand you're going to be the resistance and you have a different, but the Democrats are not doing themselves a favor.
More Jason in the House next.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sanquary is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? Yikes.
When it comes to big wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month, and that's not a short-term promo. But don't just take our word for it. Here's Jackie and Veronica, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
Our U.S.-based experts will get you switched and saving in about 20 minutes. Just call or click to see how much you can save today. Because when it comes to big wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com. That's 1-888-FREEDOM or ConsumerCellular.com today. Real people pay to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
As legend has it, Abner Doubleday invented a little game called baseball in Cooperstown, New York, in the year 1839. Myth or truth, no one knows for sure. But 100 years later, the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum opened in Cooperstown and has done a great job of balancing the myth with the historical record.
Ladies and gentlemen, I now declare the National Baseball Museum and the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, the birthplace of baseball, open. May it forever stand as a symbol of clean play and good sportsmanship.
The first class in 1939 included Cy Young of the Red Sox, Phillies legend Connie Mack, Honus Wagner of the Pirates, and the Yankees' Babe Ruth.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna DeLosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. Nine people were arraigned in the suburbs of New York City last week, accused of kidnapping, abuse, and sex trafficking a 14-year-old girl. Emma Ray Gervasi was missing for 25 days in December, allegedly given drugs, raped repeatedly, and had her body sold by 35-year-old Alton Harrell. Prosecutors say Harrell had a relationship with the teenager going back to when she was just 13 and picked her up from her home December 9th, driving her to his home and allegedly giving her drugs in exchange for sex before she was shuttled between motels, other homes, and eventually a boat. Six other men and two women are charged alongside Harrell. All nine pleaded not guilty last week to charges ranging from rape to sex trafficking to kidnapping. Gervasi was eventually rescued by her father, Frank, after one of the women charged, 52-year-old Jacqueline Comiskey, tipped off her whereabouts on a boat in a local marina. Three others not named in the indictment have also been arrested. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna DeLosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is House Call for Health. Being sick of winter weather might actually be a thing, according to health experts with Cleveland Clinic. Allergist Sandra Hong says a person can develop an allergic reaction to the cold weather. It's rare, but the condition has a name. It's called cold-induced urticaria. It happens when someone exposed to cold temperatures breaks out into hives or swelling on parts of the body. Dr. Hong says even touching cold surfaces can be enough to trigger symptoms. She says those who may experience this condition should seek out an allergist for an official diagnosis and medication treatment. Dr. Hong notes it's important to get a diagnosis because there are other diseases that can masquerade like cold-induced urticaria, and she says they'd want to make sure those diseases aren't causing any of the symptoms. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
Now, I want to shift to Congress because Congress has got to play the role. President Trump, J.D. Vance, they can't do it all themselves. Congress has to fund the government. The continuing resolution of the past only takes us through funding of the government through March 14th. The problem is you had Speaker Johnson over the weekend suggest that we need a quote-unquote clean CR to take us through the end of September, which is the end of the fiscal year. Very difficult for Republicans to look at that and say, wait a sec, we're going to continue 10 months into the Trump administration with the same funding levels that Joe Biden had? I thought we were cutting out all this waste, fraud, and abuse. Now, the latest argument that I've heard is pass the budget at that level, and then the president will rescind that. He won't spend all of it. But let's not argue about it. But there, I don't know that the Republicans have enough people to buy into that. You're asking Republicans to vote for funding of things that DOGE has already said are wasteful spending. So are you going to purposely spend wastefully knowing that that should be cut? That's a heavy lift. Thomas Massey, the congressman from Kentucky, who I know well, has already said, no, I'm not doing that. You had Chip Roy out of Texas, who is a real fiscal hawk, make the argument that I think might just win the day, which is, yeah, we can do the rescission after we pass the budget. We can't, we just, it, but this is the problem. Then you get into reconciliation. Now, reconciliation is a different monster. I've kind of explained it in past podcasts. I won't go through the details of it here. But the question is, what do you put in reconciliation? And that is it what Donald Trump refers to as one big beautiful bill? Or do you bifurcate it and separate it out? Let's take the safety security component, the military component, and create that separately from what they want to do with taxes. Or do you bring it all together under one? Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, wants to do one. Senate wants to do two. Don't know where that's going to shift out. It gets my broader point, which is Congress has to do its job. This is the difficult part. Now, I used to be in Congress. I spent 8.5 years there before I resigned my seat. And I really do believe you get in, serve, and you get out. Now, I was fortunate enough to be the chairman of the Oversight Committee. And how that happened, somebody asked me the other day, he's like, how do you become a chairman? Because, you know, there's 435 members, but there's only 22 authorizing committees. And so there's only 22 chairmen. There's a few others that don't have authorizing capabilities. They're also chairman, but nevertheless, basically it's 22. So how do you do that? First of all, they create a steering committee. So the representatives in the House for both the House majority and the House minority, they elect people that are on the quote unquote steering committee. And what you got to do is if you want to be considered as a chairman, you have to make a presentation. They usually only give you like 5 or 10 minutes. But what you do is you know who's on that committee, you go meet with them individually and hopefully garner the votes. In my case, when I ran for chairman, I was told it was only the fifth time in 100 years somebody had been elected chairman after 3 terms. I had a 75-page plan. I was very focused on the oversight committee, and I went around to each member. I told them my vision of what I wanted to do, where I wanted to focus. And again, this is during the Obama administration, and ultimately got the support of leadership and the rank and file. Now, once that steering committee ratifies that and says, oh, we want Jason Chaffetz, because quite frankly, I beat out some people that have more seniority and had raised more money, but it was more based on merit, at least in the House, for Republicans. Democrats do it differently. They do it all based on seniority, and you can stay there in perpetuity. For Republicans, you have 6 years and that's it. You're done. So you can be chair for 6 and then you're out. That's what had happened. Daryl Issa had been the chairman, but he timed out. So there was an opening. So I made the presentation. I got the vote. Then it goes to the full body. So your colleagues all have to vote on you. So I would argue that you have to have game. You got to be able to make a presentation and be convincing, because ultimately what you have 2 hurdles to pass through to become the chair. And I did. And it was an honor. It was a privilege. And we worked hard. I think in that first term, we did 450 plus hearings, depositions, subcommittee hearings. I mean, we did a lot. To do 450 in 2 years is like zooming. We were moving. But what a great honor. But that's the ability to hold people accountable. And what I saw was an opportunity to be able to investigate anything, anytime. A lot of crossover with other committees, but to really be the oversight. Now, I am looking on what Elon Musk and Doge is doing with great awe and further anticipation. Because when I was there, we'd issue letters, we'd issue subpoenas. Did we get the sort of details and specificity that Doge has been able to do with their computer nerds getting in under the hood? No, never able to get that. Even though we subpoenaed it, even though we asked for it, the delay tactics, the flat out hiding, the deceit was just off the scales. That bureaucracy knows what they're doing. They know how to hide things and to make sure that you don't ever see the light of day on things that, quite frankly, as the Oversight Committee, we should be able to see. I would also argue that, you know, we have 72 inspectors general. They are Senate confirmed, and all told, they have about 13,500 employees. If you look at just, for instance, the Department of Justice, that Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, who I think is fabulous, he had 450 investigators, guys with badges and guns that could go in and get things. But the fight that they always had was just remarkable. I remember Inspector General came to me one time, and they were fighting the DEA, and he showed me an example. He had put in a request to look at the Drug Enforcement Agency at the Department of Justice at their organizational chart. Now, you could go online on the website and print it out. And this was the test. So when they put in the formal request to say, hey, we want to have your organizational chart, they refused. They wouldn't do it, even though it was publicly available. But that was the test, right? It was a little trick we kind of did down the line, too. We would say we would have a document and we would know it would be part of the production. We know it would be in the email list. And so we'd say, hey, produce all of the emails to us on this specific address. And when they would do that, you could look at the ones you already had in hand and you could see if it was part of the production and cross-reference it. And so the question was, what percentage of the emails have you provided to us? Oh, well, we've given you, and I'm making up a number depending on the case, but this happened regularly. We've given you 7,000. And I say, that's not my question. I did this in hearings and I do it behind the scenes. So that's not the question. What percentage of the documents have you given us? And almost never would they say 100%. Never. What Doge is able to do is say, not only are you going to give them to us, we're just going to go in and find them ourselves. And that's been the game change breaker. That's changed the game. That's changed the whole dynamic. Now, the Democrats are going apoplectic because they don't want us to be able to see and understand what's happened there. Instead, they got these, oftentimes young has been described, computer nerds, if you will, that know how to get in the system and look at all this stuff. They do so with the authorization and with the president of the United States. So a lot of people on the Democratic side of the aisle, who elected Elon Musk? Well, they didn't have to elect Elon Musk. They had to elect Donald Trump. Now, Congress still has to follow up on this. The Oversight Committee still has a big part to play in this, as do all the other committees that should be doing the oversight. But on the oversight, that's what you do. That's what you do to be able to take those documents. So, for instance, a few days ago, you had James Comer bring up the four mayors and want to talk about sanctuary cities. That was a good hearing. If you go back and look at the tape and what they did, Democrats were like putting up pictures of eggs, talking about guns. They're doing anything they could to change the direction and not talk about the harboring of illegal aliens who are here in the United States committing crimes. That's the strategy so far from the Democrats, is just delay, distract, go a different direction. I don't know how long that's going to work, but they're going to try. That's what they're doing. And I think it's fundamentally wrong, but anyway, we'll see. We'll see. All right. So I want to move on because you know what? There is always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right. I go and I'm looking at the Associated Press here. It's happened in Bogota, Colombia. Colombia police apprehend a 40-year-old male attempting to smuggle several bags of cocaine concealed beneath a meticulously attached toupee. They even have pictures. He had a video cutting his hair. Somehow this guy was trying to smuggle packets of cocaine under his toupee. Oh, ouch. Well, maybe nice try, buddy, but didn't work. Glad they caught it. And I'm sure there is no shortage of creativity when they actually do this. All right, time for the next one. All right, this one's a doozy from the Associated Press. Pokemon-shaped Cheeto, Cheetozard, they're calling it, Cheetozard. It's sold at an auction. Okay, this is a Cheeto that looks like a Pokemon. And this Cheeto shaped like the beloved Pokemon Charizard, I think is how you pronounce it. It's sold at auction for, what would you guess, something like this, a Cheeto? Now, keep in mind, this is processed food, okay? It's going to last a while. It's not going to disintegrate on you. How much do you think that Cheeto went at auction for? $87,840. Unbelievable. $87,000. Somebody paid for this at the Golden Auction House. Listed the snack as sold on Sunday. Presented a 3-inch long Flamin' Hot Cheeto in the shape of a Pokemon Charizard, affixed to a customized Pokemon card and encapsulated in a clear card storage box. It was initially discovered and preserved sometime between, we don't know, 2018 and 2022 by First and Goal Collectibles. The Cheeto surged in popularity on social media platforms in late 2024. The article goes on to say there were 60 bids on the unique shaped snack. According to the listing, the winning bid was $72,000 plus the buyer's premium. Oh my gosh. You know you have some discretionary income when you've got enough money to drop nearly $100,000 on a Cheeto that looks like a Pokemon. Man, those are some priorities. But you know what? In America, you have every right to be stupid. And that is bringing on the stupid.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself, but the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. Also, as a licensed contractor, we've landscaped shopping centers, city parks, and custom residential homes. The sale will start now and continue through springtime. All 1 gallon and larger shrubs and trees are on sale. With spring right around the corner, we have a good selection of spring shade bloomers, such as azaleas and camellias, and many other sun blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. We will play part two of our conversation with Pat Boone, plus we'll welcome Emmy Award-winning actress Louise Schaefer, one of the stars of Ryan's Hope. That's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Jason in the house.
All right, let's bring in Ashley Hinson. I really appreciate Ashley and the work ethic that she brings to Congress. So, Ashley Hinson, let's get her on the line. Thanks so much for joining us on this Jason in the House podcast. Really do appreciate it.
I'm glad to be with you, Jason. And boy, it's been a wild ride in the House these past couple of terms, and only in my third term, and yet I still feel old hat around here these days.
Well, that's you are, because the turnover is so great. You know, I think that's in part what makes the House so great. I was fortunate enough to win 5 elections. I was there 8.5 years. I left early. I got a little fed up, and you know, when you get in, serve, and you get out. But tell me about your overall experience. Tell me about the difference in the tone and the tenor, Biden administration, Trump administration. I mean, the pace certainly seems to be a little bit different.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I rewind to 2020. I was elected right in the height of COVID. And so when I came in, you know, we were having these long, long vote series because we were in the height of a pandemic, right? So they were forcing the floor to be open. So business was moving at just such a slow pace around here. Not to mention, Joe Biden was truly Sleepy Joe. I had the displeasure of sitting through his State of the Union addresses. And I can tell you, it seemed more like he had just woken up from the afternoon nap than what we're seeing out of President Trump. And it is really exciting to be back in a Republican trifecta again. I was a state representative for 4 years before I got to Congress, and had the opportunity to serve in a Republican trifecta in Iowa. And it's amazing when you work as a team what you can actually get done. And I think we're at a critical juncture for the American people right now where, you know, number one, they expect us to deliver, but number two, we have an incredible opportunity to deliver. So I appreciate the pace. Obviously, as a member of Congress, I like information, and so we've been communicating to the White House. We just want good information flow so that we can best serve our people and we can actually act on a lot of things that the president wants to see get done.
Well, what's interesting to me is the Democrats have long preached diversity. They would always say, you know, when they're in power, oh, we'll work with anybody on this. But the moment they're the minority, the yelling, the screaming, the immature attitude, I mean, it's truly amazing to me.
Yeah, and even as appropriators, right, we're the committee that loves to joke. There's Republicans, there's Democrats, and there's appropriators. But even right now, we're seeing some of that that kind of real partisan behavior come out, which is unfortunate. You know, I think DOGE is doing what DOGE does well, which is exposing all these really terrible things that taxpayer money's been spent on. And yet the Democrats want to double down on business as usual. And I just don't think that's right for the American people. And at the end of the day, 70%+ of Americans, this is what they want. They want the government to be more efficient. They want their tax dollars to be used appropriately. And, I was back home in the district and, you know, I'm thinking about this a lot. You know, Iowans are getting ready to send in their checks to the federal government for their taxes. And when they're seeing this, you know, blatant misuse of their dollars, I think they feel offended. Why should I be trusting the federal government with my money? And it's your money, right? That's what I tell everybody all the time. It's not the government's money. It's your money. And so my whole goal in moving forward as an Appropriations Committee member is to make sure we're really respecting that and we're getting the transparency that we need from these agencies also.
Well, I think that's, you know, what's lost often in D.C., probably all the time in D.C. is, anytime there's a spending decision, you're deciding to pull money out of somebody's wallet and then give it to somebody else. And there doesn't seem to be an appreciation for that. And that's why when I look at what the Democrats are doing, look, Donald Trump's going to be there for 4 years and then he's done. I mean, this is his last term.
Right.
They would do so well to reach their hand out and say, here are a couple things that we could work with you on. Because I think Donald Trump, the one I experienced when I was chairman of the Oversight Committee, I worked with Elijah Cummings, who's since sadly passed away. Boy, he was trying to work Elijah Cummings to work on, you know, inner city issues and those types of things. But the pressure grew so great. No, you can do nothing with Donald Trump. We can't legitimize him. We can't say that he's doing anything good. And that's just to the detriment of the country. And I think it's so immature. But if they would find an issue or something, they could grab onto it. And you would think if you do want to truly strengthen, say, I don't know, Medicare or Social Security or pick any program that you want, you'd be first in line to say, let's get rid of all this waste, fraud, and abuse, and let's clean up these roles and make sure that the people that are eligible are getting the benefits that they're supposed to. Why is that such a heavy lift for them?
It shouldn't be, but, I think at, where we are in the country, things are very, very divided. And I think it's really sad that people want to demonize you for working across the aisle. I mean, I had a bill that I went to the Oval and Joe Biden signed, and I was grateful he signed my bill, right? I think the important thing is, I represent 800,000 Iowans, whether or not I'm in the majority or what if I'm in the minority. So my goal is always to get the best deal, the most possible work done for my constituents. And I think that that should be the approach no matter if you're in the majority or the minority, because the pendulum does swing, as we know. And so my approach coming in, like I said, I came in a Democrat trifecta, and I still knew I have to deliver. I want to negotiate in good faith. I want to get good deals done for Iowans and for Americans, and I'm going to vote for the most conservative bill that I can get done at that time. And that is kind of my governing mantra. There are things that it's really easy to vote no. And Jason, I know you know this from having served in the House. There's always something you can find in any bill that it's like, okay, well, that is egregious. I'm voting no. But it's much harder to get to yes, and it's much harder to govern. And I think that's where we're finding ourselves right now, with a broad spectrum of membership, a broad spectrum of viewpoints, where, especially in the appropriations process, you do have to reach across the aisle, because, the Senate obviously runs a little bit different than the House. The House, we could pass a bill with 218 votes on the floor if we can get there. In the Senate, they have to have the 60 vote threshold. So, when it comes to having these conversations and hearing people out, we need to be doing that, because the bills that we put forth need to fund the priorities of the American people, but we have to be respectful of that Senate filibuster, which means 60 votes in the Senate, which means a bipartisan bill.
Yeah, it's tough. So you're touching on a lot of different topics here. It can be done, much like you've been able to accomplish. I'm very conservative. I was a very conservative member of Congress, but I was able to pass 8 bills into law. And keep in mind, Barack Obama was the president of the United States. So, it can be done, but you've got to be able to be, and this is what I think the framers wanted to see. Passing pieces of legislation was never supposed to be an easy glide path. If it was supposed to be an easy glide path, they would have set up a totally different system. They wouldn't put 435 people over here and 100 over there and then have a president that could veto. I mean, it's a method and a way to be what I think is actually fairly conservative and not just have the need for speed. And so it can be done, and that's a credit to you. And it's, I got some of these things done as well. So, I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I want to get your thought on two things. One is reconciliation. And then I understand a lot of people, it's a very confusing thing, but the first thing that's going to come up is this government shutdown, and I heard Speaker Johnson talk about the need for a quote unquote clean continuing resolution, but boy, Congresswoman, I have a hard time believing that a lot of Republicans are going to get on board and vote for this, because many of the things they would be appropriating money for are things that DOGE has highlighted as being wasteful. So how do members, particularly Republicans, conservatives, whatever you want to call them, Republicans will say, get in line behind a continuing resolution and say, hey, the first 9 months of the Trump administration is just going to be the status quo of what we did under Joe Biden?
Yeah, which is incredibly frustrating. And I think, to my role as a member of the Appropriations Committee, we passed all 12 bills out of our committee last year, last summer. Did our work. And to my point about trying to get the most conservative bill possible out of our conference, you have the broad spectrum of membership on the Appropriations Committee that I think reflects that. You've got the chair of the Freedom Caucus as one of our appropriations cardinals, one of the, subcommittee chairs. And then you've got a member who won his district in California, but President Biden won his district by more than 10 points, in 2020. So you look at them there, and when we're able to build that consensus and put forth more conservative legislation than what the Democrats certainly would, and certainly in divided government, which is what we were operating under when we drafted these bills last year, I find it very confusing and frustrating that many of my colleagues will not get on board to help us get these bills across the finish line. So this is where we are because of that. And I frankly would have loved to get these done in December when we, you know, before we had the administration change so that President Trump could have started off his administration without that baggage. But since this is where we are, we need to take a look at obviously what DOGE is putting forth as far as cuts. And I think we have a unique opportunity where even if we are on a CR, I think that we can go back and do rescissions. You know, that's kind of an after the fact, you know, math game, so to speak. But there's a lot we can do if we are actually drafting our own appropriations bills with the Republican trifecta that we can go back in and say, oh, yeah, well, we know right now we had to CR that money, but we're going to come back in and put these DOGE cuts into code, put them in our appropriations bills and use those monies as pay-fors for other things as well. So ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't want to see the politics of a government shutdown get in the way of President Trump's agenda. We need to be able to roar back. And the only way we can do that is if we get an end to illegal immigration, the out-of-control spending, the energy independence that we need. The only way we can do that is if we're not fighting against a government shutdown. And I worry about, you know, I talked about that 60-vote threshold. What's the pain point of what we have to give to reopen the federal government? So as a conservative, I hate the idea of having it cost more money. We just got all these people, these government bureaucrats back into the office, hopefully actually showing up to work and working for the taxpayer. And then we're going to send the message, oh, no, we're going to send you home again, furlough you, and then you're still going to get paid to do nothing. So I think that that sends the wrong message also to the American people.
More Jason in the House next. Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
And just like that, gold prices hit yet another all-time highs. Investors, central banks, billionaires from all around the world are flocking to own physical gold and silver. And guess what? Your chance to get off the sidelines and join this bull market is right now. My name is Jeremy Blossom. I'm with Advantage Gold, the number one customer-rated gold company in America. And we have a free gold investment guide to help you understand what's going on. And more importantly, how to own physical gold and silver. All you need to do is call us at 1-800-900-8000 today, and we'll rush you this guide. It's 1-800-900-8000. Get our free gold investment guide and learn why now is the right time to own physical gold and silver. And if you call now, you could also earn up to $1,000 in free silver. What are you waiting for? Get off the sidelines. Call 1-800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A hero bus driver from Minnesota makes the Dean's List, whose life-saving actions saved many lives. Brian Lathrop was on his regular morning route when all of a sudden a semi-truck veered into his lane and was heading straight for him. Brian's quick reflexes had him move into the truck's lane to avoid a head-on collision. There was impact to the side of his bus, but thankfully everyone was unharmed. Brian says had he not taken the chance heading into the opposite side of the road with oncoming traffic, he would not be alive to tell the story. The sheriff's office has reached out to Brian to let him know that his incredible response saved many lives. The school district also planning on recognizing his heroic actions at the next board meeting. Brian Lathrop, you're a hero, and you made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox on Justice, and a big blow to the defense of the man accused of murdering four University of Idaho students. A judge denying three requests from Brian Koberger's legal team to suppress evidence, including DNA found at the scene linking him to the killing of those students, as well as a hearing they wanted to challenge how police conducted the investigation. And finally, a request to exclude data from Koberger's Apple, Google, and Amazon accounts. The defense had claimed police violated Koberger's rights by using an investigative technique, genetic genealogy, to build a DNA family tree prior to having any hard evidence against him. However, Judge Stephen Hippler disagreed, saying, quote, the court finds suppression is not warranted on any of these issues, unquote. Trial is set for August. If found guilty, Koberger could get the death penalty. Wayne Lajeunesse, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
All right, let me move on to two different things I want to catch you before I lose you here. The new Secretary of Agriculture, she is just, I mean, I'm so impressed with her. She recently came out with this 5-point plan on how to deal with the egg shortage. You know, they had to cull some 160 million chickens, I think it was. And boy, that's a lot of dead chickens. And so, you know, she's got a 5-point plan on how to deal with that. But I think she is going to be a superstar for ag, and certainly that bodes well for, you know, states like Indiana and Utah and all, you know, a lot of ag producing states out there. So how do you read what she's doing, where she's going, and how that all affect Iowans?
Yeah, well, and I look at what, you know, she's trying to do for egg prices, and I think it's absolutely critical. And you mentioned the culling of all these birds, and it's heartbreaking. It is. Yeah. I've had a conversation with many of these farmers who, you know, their workers are depressed every time they have to go through this process of culling thousands and thousands of birds, and it really does affect their mental health as well. And so I think that's an important part of this conversation. But we have to do something about high pathogenic avian influenza, which is a mouthful, but I think it's really affecting our local economies and the national economy. So I agree with you. I think Brooke's going to do an amazing job. You know, I keep saying we should move the Department of Ag to Iowa, but it's nice to have an ally from Texas that we can have great conversations on that on many of these issues that really do affect our producers every single day. Agriculture is such a driver for our economy, and I think President Trump certainly realizes that. I'm glad he's trying to put protections in place for American farmers and American producers, and standing up to our adversaries like the Chinese Communist Party. We have to do more there on trade, and I think that is something that Secretary Rollins really understands, is that this is about protecting our supply chain, making some fundamental changes so that we can make it resilient long term, but also looking for those new opportunities around the world where we can continue to make new friends and access new markets. So I'm excited to see what her leadership will bring over these next couple of years.
Yeah, she's going to be a great secretary. I think she's off to a great start. There's a reason why she got such broad support in the United States Senate. And I am totally in favor of moving the Department of Agriculture to a place like Iowa. I think you get a totally different result, a different workforce, and I think that would be healthy. I worry that we have too many people who don't understand ag because they don't really lived it, and they have, it's not in their backyard. So I think that would be great.
Let's get them to Iowa. That's what we say.
Amen to that. I also, you know, it's days ago now, but I'm still stunned that Democrats in mass, both in the Senate and the House, decided to vote against a bill that was seemed like common sense, which is to say, you know, we shouldn't have men participating in women's sports. Was that really a hard, difficult, I mean, ask? This is like an 80% issue, should be 100% issue as far as I'm concerned. But how do they justify this? I mean, you're on the floor with these people. You see them every day. What in that vote, did they really just say, no, we should be having, I mean, why do we have Title IX? Why do we even have women's sports if that's their attitude?
They can't define what a woman is, and that's why they're so lost. That's why they're scrambling on this issue. You know, they want to call them pregnant people or, you know, nursing individual. I mean, I was just shocked at some of the language that they want to do to try to erase women. So I think we cannot let them have that territory. We are the party that's standing up for women and girls, whether it's in sports or whether it's in gender identity. There are two genders in this country, and I think that we need to be cognizant of that going forward. And I can't believe that they are so lost that they doubled down on this issue. I think it's one of the reasons why they lost. Iowans and Americans voted to end the way of doing things that are woke and out of touch with the majority of Americans. This radical gender ideology that the Democrats continue to support, I think, is, you're right, out of touch with the majority of Americans. And, you know, it's interesting as a mom, I have two boys. They're 12 and 14 now. And it was a couple of years ago, my kid's school was actually the one that decided that they wanted to allow kids to change their gender at school and not tell the parents about it. And I mean, it was a big deal in Iowa at the time. Our legislature had to come back in after the fact and fix it. But I just thought it was bonkers. Like, you want a 12-year-old to be able to say at school, like, hey, I'm going to go by a different name and don't tell my parents about it. Keep them out of it. And the school board thought it was a good idea to keep the parents out of it. Yeah. So that's, again, where we are, is these radical ideas that parents, and this was a bipartisan pushback against that issue. I mean, the governor and I did a like a little meeting town hall kind of thing with some parents, and there were Republicans, Democrats, and independents in that room. You know, so when I look at an issue like this, something so simple as to protect girls' sports, it dumbfounds me that they would still double down and vote no on a policy that simple.
Well, listen, Ashley Henson from the great state of Iowa, I'm glad you're in the mix. Glad you're in there with the good fight. I know how hard you work and how much respect you have in the district and within the body. So keep up the good hard work. And gosh, I just, you know, I appreciate your perspective and taking time with us here on this Jason in the House podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Jason. It was fun.
Thank you. Well, look, she's just wonderful. You can see why I'm kind of highly impressed with her and what she does and how she does it. With Ashley Henson, I'd appreciate if you could rate this podcast. Thank you. That would be really, really helpful. It takes just a click. That would be great. You can subscribe to it. That would be great. I want to remind people that you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Join us again next week. We'll have another good guest. Lots happening in this Trump administration. Exciting times here. Again, like it, rate it, subscribe to it. Check out the other podcasts that are out there. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and this has been Jason in the House.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Henry Clay Warhawk Rebellious. Backed by popular demand, this limited edition Toro is sure to please. Another fine example of Nicaraguan tobacco blended by AJ Fernandez. Complex, smooth, chocolatey Habano wrapper, a satisfying smoke with a clean finish. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A federal judge barred the Trump administration Saturday from carrying out deportations under a sweeping 18th century law that the president invoked just hours earlier to speed removal of Venezuelan gang members from this country. Administration says it will appeal. President Trump wants the U.S. to take over Greenland, but Greenlanders are not ready. The White House correspondent Greg Clugston has our story.
Greenland's likely new prime minister is rejecting the president's effort to take control of the island, saying Greenlanders don't want to be a part of the United States. In parliamentary elections this past week, Jens Frederik Nielsen and his pro-business party were victorious. He said Greenland wants independence from Denmark and doesn't want to be taken over by America. Donald Trump recently said he expects the U.S. to get Greenland one way or the other. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A California man has won $50 million in a lawsuit over burns from tea he bought at Starbucks.
On Friday, a Los Angeles County jury found in favor of Michael Garcia, who underwent skin grafts and other procedures after a venti-sized hot tea drink spilled on him right after he took it from the barista back in February. His attorneys say he suffered permanent and life-changing disfigurement. Garcia's lawsuit says the employee did not wedge the scalding hot tea firmly enough into a takeout tray. The company says it sympathizes with Garcia, but will appeal. I'm Julie Walker.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he will bring a vote to the government this week to dismiss the director of the Shin Bet Internal Security Service. Netanyahu says he has an ongoing distrust of Ronan Bar. The decision comes after an acrimonious dispute between the two men, focused largely on who's responsible for October 7th. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Westlake Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Westlake Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Westlake, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
An assailant poured a liquid over a woman on a tram in eastern Germany today and set her alight. She's been taken to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. The attacker's gotten away. Police say nobody else was hurt in the Sunday morning incident in the eastern city of Gera. Passengers stopped the tram by pressing an emergency button. The assailant took that opportunity to flee. It's not immediately clear what might have prompted the bizarre attack. At least five Pakistani officers have been killed and 10 wounded when a suicide car bomber targeted a convoy of buses carrying security forces in rested Balochistan province. The outlawed Baloch Liberation Army claimed responsibility for the attack. Just last week, the rebels attacked a train and took about 400 people hostage. 26 of them died before security forces launched an operation that killed all 33 of the attackers. The BLA has been demanding independence from the central government. News and analysis at townhall.com. Barcelona has entered into an experiment with driverless public transportation. We get more on that from correspondent Donna Warder.
Hola.
These people are getting onto a minibus in Barcelona, Spain. And for this week, the public transportation has been free. But it's also been without a driver. The French car maker Renault has been testing the new electric driverless minibus in the city this week. The electric bus can run for 120 kilometers without a recharge. I'm Donna Water.
Today is Sunday, March the 16th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Eric Estrada. Anybody remember Chips? 76 years old, he is. Musician Nancy Wilson of Heart is 71. NFL Hall of Famer Ozzie Newsome has 69 candles on his birthday cake today. Canada's new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, he's having a birthday today, and he's 60. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Shasta College Community Education Catalog for spring-summer is out. You may have received a hard copy in your mailbox, or you can view all the courses online. If you're looking for some fun adventures, maybe you want to get in shape, or maybe you're looking to start a side hustle or new business. The community education courses have something for everyone. Check it out today at shastacollege.edu.
Marilyn.
And I'm Abby, her BFF.
We're in Riverfront Playhouse's production of Ripcord by David Lindsay Abair, directed by John Welch.
March 7th through the 23rd, join us for this hilarious comedy about feisty elderly women.
Us, who become roommates in a retirement community. See how our comic, playful rivalry leads to a series of funny and unexpected pranks.
Grab your tickets now at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Sponsored by this station and these amazing pro arts businesses.
The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
The week began with a staggering drop in the stock market as Monday marked the worst day Wall Street has had in years. These widespread sell-offs signaling growing concerns that the Trump administration's imposed tariff plan could spark a trade war and deepen financial crises nationally and possibly abroad. When asked about recession concerns over the weekend, President Trump seemed confident Americans' pocketbooks won't be hit too hard for too long.
All I know is this, we're going to take in hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs, and we're going to become so rich, you're not going to know where to spend all that money.
To discuss this and more, we bring in our panel. Chief Political Correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Byron York. Fox News Radio, Washington, D.C. Correspondent Jared Halperin. And Democratic pollster, Carly Cooperman. Byron, the tariff back and forth dismantled a bit. Ontario Premier Doug Ford, dropping a threat of 25% electricity surcharge on Minnesota, Michigan, and New York after a threat by President Trump to, if that happens, increase the tariffs on Canadian aluminum and steel from 25 to 50%. So this back and forth is happening. The market's obviously jittery over the whole thing.
And reasonably so. I mean, the whole electricity thing suggested this thing is just getting completely out of hand. I do believe that the uncertainty really is the cause of a lot of these problems, because obviously during the campaign, Donald Trump talked a lot about tariffs. He said what he was going to do. And I think that if he had actually just done it, as opposed to sort of do it and then pull it back and then make an exception and then pull it back again and then set another deadline, I think if he'd done that, a number of the affected countries and companies would be adjusting to a new reality right now, as opposed to not knowing what to do. So I do think it's one of the big factors that's spooking everybody right now.
And Jared, Republicans on the Hill, largely supportive of the administration, but some of them getting a little queasy on the tariff back and forth.
This is new territory for Republicans, right? I mean, for decades, Republicans were kind of viewed as the more free trade party. It was Democrats who were more of the protectionist party. That has certainly been flipped on its head with the economic outlook of President Trump. But again, you look at the markets and a lot of questions over the last several days about the markets, about if President Trump is being influenced by that. I asked him specifically if the market was going to impact his decisions. He told me he wasn't really paying attention much to the markets. Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, said that this is a period of economic transition. We are transitioning away, she said, from a mess that was created by the previous administration. She said that CEOs, Wall Street and Main Street should bet on President Trump as a businessman, as a deal maker. But clearly it is raising questions about kind of what the level of patience may be, not just for Wall Street, but for voters who really could see prices go up, go down, have a lot of instability based on how these tariffs are implemented, delayed, exceptions that are laid out. Still a lot of questions about how these tariffs are going to be imposed and for how long.
Yeah. And Carly, I guess Democrats are in an interesting position in that, you know, sometimes fighting other countries' tariffs on goods, fighting for companies to come back and increase jobs has been in their category, the Bernie Sanders kind of category. But this is, you know, causing uncertainty, and it seems Democrats are just going to kind of let this go and see how it plays to the midterms.
Yeah, look, I think in this case right now, Trump is doing something that is largely unpopular with voters. There's an Emerson poll came out that said a 48% of plurality do not approve of Trump's handling of the economy. 53% said that the tariffs are going to hurt economic growth. We're starting to see a drop in Trump's ratings as a result. And I think that, you know, it's not like Democrats won the stock market to tank and the economy to crumble. But at this point, letting this fall out is, you know, only going to be to their benefit, in so that the instability certainly isn't something that voters want to see happen. And, you know, they've been time and time again saying that they want their economic concerns addressed. And it's certainly not so that they think that the tariffs are going to help that. So for now, I think Democrats are kind of just holding back to see how this plays out and what Trump does.
Jared, there is progress overseas in Saudi Arabia with the Ukrainians and the U.S. A Ukrainian agreed to ceasefire, perhaps moving forward on this minerals deal. We don't know the Russia side of the equation, but it seems like there is headway here.
Yeah, and President Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, said that part of the conversation with Secretary of State Rubio, the National Security Advisor Michael Waltz, also included some of those security guarantees that really seemed to be the source of that Oval Office blow up a few weeks back. So maybe we get some details on what that looks like. But notable to hear from Secretary Rubio that he said now the ball is in Russia's court. There are reports that Steve Witkoff, the special envoy for the Middle East, may travel to Moscow in the next couple of days and see if he can get a read from Russia. But after, 3 years of conflict, to get even a 30-day ceasefire certainly would be a significant moment. And it would come when there were a lot of questions about what the Trump administration and President Trump's strategy really were with this kind of hardline approach, not just on Russia, but increasingly on Ukraine and President Zelensky.
Yeah, and, you know, the president saying, yeah, I'll talk to Vladimir Putin. It takes two to tango. Hopefully he'll also agree to this this ceasefire at least 75% of the way. I guess the other thing is for Ukraine to get the release of the pause on the stop of weapons from the U.S. and intelligence as well.
Yeah, which is presumably a way to put some pressure on the Russians right at this moment. And I think this could be maybe the most critical moment that we have had so far, which is that it appears that for the first time, we are going to hear what the Russians might agree to. And the whole question here has been, if there were some sort of settlement, I don't think anybody thought Ukraine was going to get all the land that it had prior to 2014 back. But if there were some sort of settlement, what, Ukraine would have to give up and what Russia would give up of the land that it has taken since it invaded. And so that's been this huge unanswered question. So I think for the first time, with this ceasefire proposal, we may see if Russia is willing to actually play along here.
Yeah. And Carly, all the talk about how close President Trump may be to Russia, the administration going out of its way not to offend Russia in this process. If he does get them to the table and if this does move forward as they're talking about, it would be seen, I think, in a bipartisan way as a success.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that there's differences and discrepancies in terms of, you know, how much Ukraine should have to give up versus, you know, what kind of concessions Russia may or may not make. But by and large, we've seen in the data that majorities of Americans at this point, they want this conflict to end. We've seen both parties express concerns about the U.S. giving too much aid to Ukraine. And I think there's fatigue for this conflict in general. And so Trump moving the needle forward will probably be viewed with success.
And Jared, last thing. I mean, President Trump now has a Tesla.
He picked one out. I was disappointed that he didn't pick the Cybertruck. I thought that would have looked good in the motorcade. Elon Musk says that they're bulletproof and have other kind of safety features. But, yeah, listen, I think that certainly this is a nod on the part of the president to Elon Musk. Obviously, the two have been political allies. Now they are working closely on Doge. Elon Musk has come under a lot of criticism for his work on Doge. And so this seemed to be a nod to President Trump that all is well in sort of Doge land and with Elon Musk, right? After reports that there have been some tensions with cabinet officials that the White House has tried to play down. I don't know where this we were told that the Tesla will stay on campus. I don't know where it's going to drive. President Trump, I don't think, will be allowed to drive it with the Secret Service. But I guess we'll see. Maybe I'll have to look for that next motorcade. And maybe they'll make it the press vehicle, Brett. That would be cool.
Yeah, or maybe just on the south lawn, on the driveway, yeah. Something. He hasn't driven in quite some time, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I don't
sure.
think so, no.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. On March 10th, 1876, the first speech was transmitted by telephone. Inventor Alexander Graham Bell developed the basic ideas for the telephone in 1875, enlisting the help of mechanic Thomas Watson to design a device that transmitted speech vibrations electrically between two receivers. On March 7th, 1876, after their design had been further fleshed out, Bell was awarded a comprehensive telephone patent that granted him ownership over both the instruments and concept of a telephone system. Just 3 days later, he successfully tested his telephone system in his Boston home, sending a message to his co-inventor in the next room over, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want you." The rest was history. For Carly, Byron, and Jared, I'm Brett Baer.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? Yikes. When it comes to big wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month, and that's not a short-term promo. But don't just take our word for it. Here's Jackie and Veronica, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
Our U.S.-based experts will get you switched and saving in about 20 minutes. Just call or click to see how much you can save today. Because when it comes to big wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com. That's 1-888-FREEDOM or ConsumerCellular.com today. Real people pay to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos, and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Bill monthly.
Take a pause.
With the crazy prices we've seen on eggs lately, is it time to grow your own chickens?
When you're raising your own and when you crack them, I mean, you can tell by the yolks are just so healthy looking. Nice and orange color, not like a dull yellow colored egg.
Largo Feed and Pet Supply Manager Justin McQueen in Florida says a lot of people are trying to raise backyard chickens, but there are upfront costs. A few $100 for a chicken coop, about $30 a month for food for a flock of four. There's fencing and power.
When we get the baby chicks in, you're going to have some kind of like heat lamp on them. They like to stay about 90 degrees for the first couple weeks, and then you start dropping it about 5 degrees a week.
He says those chicks start laying eggs at 18 to 20 weeks old, and if you've got four chickens, you may see 8 dozen eggs a month. But there's another benefit.
They're considered a companion animal. They'll come right up to you if you're sitting down in a backyard. They usually, some of them will hop right up in your lap.
Take pause. Jill Nato, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A stranger's note that left a Texas dad touched makes today's Dean's List. Dr. J. Max Slaughter was having breakfast with his three kids at a restaurant in Fort Worth. Dr. Slaughter is an emergency physician and was getting ready to pay his bill, but instead found a kind message from someone that noticed him in the cafe. The note read, "From a dad to a dad, thank you for being the dad they need you to be regardless of who's watching. We need more men like you, and thank you for letting us all see your love for them." It was signed, a retired Army medic. Not only that, the stranger had paid for everyone's breakfast. Dr. Slaughter posted the message on social media to show his gratitude and replied, "Random acts of kindness are so powerful. My entire day is changed. Maybe my whole month. I'm just so awesomely aware of the good that exists in complete strangers." Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1983. President Ronald Reagan.
While they preach the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth, they are the focus of evil in the modern world.
To ignore the great majority of the American public who enjoys rock music is just pure stupidity.
Yeah, they did deploy, and Sunfield's closing now. We'll be with you in a minute.
That's great, Sally.
Our immediate challenge to this atrocity is to ensure that we make the skies safer and that we seek just compensation for the families of those who were killed.
Never again should a black or Hispanic or woman or Jew, because of race, religion, or sex, be limited or inhibited as we grow. The aristocracy is not the limit. The sky is the limit. Our time has come.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
I'm telling you, you just watch. We're going to have jobs. We're going to have open factories. It's going to be great.
The trade policy uncertainty is the one thing that people will see, and that is going to be resolved in early April. When that happens, then the economy really lifts off.
President Trump talking about fears of a recession, at least answering questions about that. It has been a bumpy ride on the markets in the past few days. Larry Kudlow of Fox Business joins us now. He has just finished a live interview with Elon Musk, and he's here to talk about that. Larry, good afternoon. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your interview, but I also want to talk about what we've seen on the markets and in the U.S. economy. It was a roller coaster ride, mostly down, and then over the past couple of days, and then if you go backwards all the way to the beginning of the inauguration, there was, you know, down about 1,500 points. It's a correction. It happens, but it's tough for some investors to look at.
Well, it is in full correction mode, which is 10%. A full bear market, I guess, is 20%. I wouldn't want to predict any of it. It's interesting to me. I hear this talk about recession. I don't see, I mean, profits are rising, and that's not an indicator of recession. And actually, the manufacturing and services surveys are showing above 50%, and the jobs report on Friday wasn't fabulous, but it was pretty solid. So I'm not really, I don't think there's a strong recession case to be made. There are weaknesses in the economy, no question about that. But I don't know. I'm a little skeptical about the recession scenario. And then again, you know, stocks correct when they correct, Brett. I mean, that's the beauty of the stock market.
That is the beauty of that. Elon Musk obviously is doing a lot with Doge, working with each one of these agencies. What was your takeaway from your interview?
Well, it was quite interesting. I mean, you know, he talked about how he chooses. He goes in. They're in all the agencies now. I'm not sure I knew that. He's got 100 people on his team. He wants to build it out to 200 people. He's going to be around for quite a while. As you know, the president just backed him again this weekend. But I thought the most interesting thing is he said, I think he's heard a calling. I asked him, I said, did you hear a call for action? And he started talking about how, you know, the deficits have been bad and the debt is a big burden and the interest expense is a big burden. And he's quite concerned about the politics of that and how that could damage the country. I just think he heard a call, and I think that's a big part of it. You know, I asked him, how do you run your businesses while you're doing this? And he said, well, I probably aren't running them very well. But nonetheless, he's going to stay with it. He gave every indication of that.
Here is Elon Musk on NGOs. Take a listen.
One of the biggest sources of fraud in the world is government-funded, non-governmental organizations. This is a gigantic fraud loophole where the government can give money to an NGO, and then that there are no controls over that NGO. So they've given billions of dollars, in fact, we estimate tens of billions of dollars, to NGOs that are essentially scams.
So what about that, Larry? I mean, is the pot big enough in each one of these places to equal what they're hoping, the $1 trillion? Originally it was $2 trillion, but $1 trillion, let's say, in savings.
Well, I gave him a chance at the revised number. He's staying with the $1 trillion number. I'm not sure he rules out anything bigger than that or maybe even smaller than that. He makes a very good point about the NGOs because really nobody knows what kinds of monies have been given to them and whether that had anything to do with congressional laws or mandates. But he wants to build out his team. I mean, I said, how many you got? He said about 100. And I said, you're going to go larger. And he said, yeah, we want to go to 200. And I think he's kind of working out the kinks. I just tried to demystify his whole process so the public, our viewers, could get a chance to see how, where, and why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, the Doge savings, they estimate about $105 billion right now, and the amount saved per taxpayer is about $652 right now. You know, we heard a lot in the reporting about fiery exchanges behind the scenes between Elon Musk and Rubio. Here's the president on all that reporting and his answer to it.
Look, Elon's a very special person, and these cabinet people are special people. I think they have a fantastic relationship to Elon, and Doge has been incredible. That doesn't mean they don't have a little bit of an argument here and there about something.
So what about the interactions and what he thinks about getting along, playing with others in the playpen?
Well, I asked him about that briefly, and I said, you know, how are you getting along? Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, described the relationships as partners. And I asked him about that, and I think Elon kind of nodded his head. I think he agrees they are partners. But I think, you know, everyone's trying to drive a wedge between Elon and the president, or maybe between Elon and the rest of the cabinet. Brett, at this stage of the game, I do not think they're going to succeed in driving any wedges. I think President likes what Elon's doing. I think taxpayers like what Elon's doing. I've seen polls that show 70% approval for what those savings are going to look like. And by the way, we had Russ Vogt on, the OMB director, earlier. As you may know, they're going to translate these Doge savings through rescissions, which only require a majority vote in the House and Senate, and that's how they're going to take them out of the baseline, and it's going to appear in the Trump budget as well.
That's interesting. Larry, really quickly, X was, I guess, the cyber attack on X, Elon Musk's property. Talk about that and where it's coming from.
Yes, Elon was very clear. I asked him about that. I asked him if it was a foreign source. He was very clear. He said Ukraine. He said Ukraine, without any question.
Wow. Well, that's interesting, too. Larry Kudlow, we appreciate the time.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1977. Criminal Gary Gilmore.
I simply accepted a sentence that was given to me. I've accepted sentences all my life.
By an affirmative vote of a majority of the members of the Board of Pardons of the state of Utah, the death sentence imposed on Gary Gilmore will not be commuted or lessened.
I let the American people down, and I have to carry that burden with me for the rest of my life.
Sam did it for me. He used it. He made me go out there and do it. I did it for him, for blood. For saying he can have the blood.
In this hour of sorrow of both Tennesseans, the nation, and indeed around the world, the sadness reflects the talent of one of the greatest talents that this country has ever produced, or maybe this world has ever produced.
News as it happened then,
news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week with the smartest thinkers out there about the issues Americans face and where we're going as a nation. This show will feature deep dive interviews with newsmakers and some of your favorite Fox News analysts. I hope you'll join me as we dive into the fray. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In August of 1970, New York attorney Bella Abzug, one of the most outspoken leaders in the growing women's movement, gave testimony on the Equal Rights Amendment.
We felt this transcendent joy, for woman's life has been imminent, as Simone de Beauvoir said. It has never been completely human, because so few of us have had this great experience that all of us have had tonight, of creating in history, of taking the torch from those great women who won us to vote 50 years ago and carrying that torch high so that it will shine on the lives not only of our daughters, but shines in our own faces in self-affirmation.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Before settling down with a partner, there's a variety of financial red flags to be aware of that could cost you in the long run, not only with your relationship, but your finances as well. Those red flags include a partner's finances, from how secret they are about their money and how they spend it to how much debt they've incurred. Financial experts at Wells Fargo say it's something that couples should discuss as they embark on important milestones like going on vacation, signing a lease, buying a home, or getting hitched. The biggest red flag is financial secrecy. So it's important that some talk topics that you have with your partner include how he or she spends their money, views on investing, and even debt. Raising these topics will provide clues on their relationship with money as you move from the initial early stages of dating all the way into making a more permanent commitment in the future, like sharing expenses, commingling finances, joint ownership of assets, and marriage. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
The Fred Bear Show, Common Ground.
There are a number of senators on the Republican side that continue to want to find common ground.
We emphasize the conflict and controversy sells, and I think it's a problem because most Americans look at Washington and see something that's broken.
Why don't we look for ways that we celebrate what this country is capable of doing?
It's amazing what you can do when you get off social media and you start talking and communicating with one another, because there is common ground.
With Fox News chief political anchor Fred Bear.
Well, tonight we look at the bipartisan tribute to a former senator, presidential candidate, vice presidential nominee, Joe Lieberman. He passed away 1 year ago this month, and a new documentary centered Joe Lieberman takes a look at his life and accomplishments. Joining us tonight are former Democratic senator from Louisiana, John Breaux, and current Maine Republican senator, Susan Collins. Thanks so much for joining us. Senator Breaux, I want to talk to you about, you know, the legacy of Joe Lieberman. You know, we see how divided our country is every day. Social media, we just had the joint address where President Trump talked to Congress, and obviously the visual there of Democrats sitting and with the signs and not clapping for things like the kid with brain cancer or other success stories. It got some people riled up, obviously. What's your take of that? What do you think Joe Lieberman would say about the split in our country today?
Well, I think he'd be very unhappy, Brett. When I was in the Senate with Joe, we formed what we thought was the most powerful coalition in the Senate, and we called it the Kosher Cajun Caucus. He was a Jewish senator from Connecticut, and I was a Catholic from South Louisiana. But we felt that we should be taking the best ideas from both parties and putting them together and forming a consensus on a piece of legislation. So the Kosher Cajun Caucus worked on that. I don't know if that's possible today. I don't know if there are enough people in the center that would really want to work that way across party lines. I think that's one of the answers that we need to be working towards to solve the problems that we're all seeing today.
Yeah, Senator Collins, obviously Senator Lieberman had a great humor, sense of humor, independence. It was on display at the DNC. Take a listen.
There's an old saying that behind every successful man, there's a surprised mother-in-law.
Yeah, he was a great guest here on the channel, Senator Collins. What do you think he would say about today's split and where we are?
Well, I agree with John. Joe would be so chagrined, disappointed, but he'd also be trying still to bring us together. I worked with Joe on so many pieces of legislation, and he was a prolific legislator, and he always used his good sense of humor, his brilliance, and his patriotism to get really significant legislation passed, and it was always bipartisan, whether it was the reform of our intelligence community after the attacks of 9/11, 9/11 or repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell or the reform of FEMA after Hurricane Katrina's failed response. He always would look at a problem, have hearings, work with me. We were heads of the Homeland Security Committee and Governmental Affairs Committee together. And we produced a lot of bills that really made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Senator Breaux, he clearly didn't care to deal with any of the criticism from his left. The Connecticut Post did this thing in 2019. They said nine times Joe Lieberman did stuff everyone hated, and they listed all the things that from the left they hated that he did or said or endorsed. But he was independent in that way. Do you think that there are more politicians that fall, that could fall in that category, or that there would be a rise of the center, or are you fearful about that now that you've left Capitol Hill?
Brett, I think that Joe started with the premise that neither party has a monopoly on good ideas, that both parties have good ideas, and the answer is to take the best ideas from both parties and try and blend them together in order to reach a consensus. I think as more and more people realize that that's the best way to approach solving these problems, we're going to have more and more members that will stand up and reach out across party lines and say, look, let's sit down and figure out what we can do to work together. I think the American people are going to start demanding it. If you get that type of a consensus, you're going to necessarily leave some people on the far left and off the train and some people on the far right off the train. But at least you would have a majority agreeing on what the best solutions to the problems are.
Yeah, and you'd still be on the tracks. Senator Breaux, Senator Collins, thanks so much. We've been doing this Common Ground for almost 2 years, and more people are talking about that. We appreciate it.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
The worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? Yikes. When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month, and that's not a short-term promo. But don't just take our word for it. Here's Jackie and Veronica, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
Our U.S.-based experts will get you switched and saving in about 20 minutes. Just call or click to see how much you can save today. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com. That's 1-888-FREEDOM or ConsumerCellular.com today. Real people pay to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Fox News Audio presents the Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door, exploring the life and crimes of five serial predators from across the United States.
It's a very disturbing case.
Never before heard interviews and first-hand perspectives.
Described as pure evil. That's a good description.
The Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door. Listen and follow now at FoxTrueCrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Get those W-2s ready. Tax season has arrived. It's the Fox Business Tax Tips. Fox News Radio's Ginny Cassola and Hillary Barsky are joined by the hosts of the Fox Business Network to provide you with the latest tips, tricks, and updates on filing your taxes. From deadlines to tax law changes to the latest deductions, we'll cover it all to make sure you keep that hard-earned money where it belongs, in your pocket. Listen and follow the Fox Business Tax Tips at FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Fox News Audio presents the Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door, exploring the life and crimes of five serial predators from across the United States.
It's a very disturbing case.
Never before heard interviews and first-hand perspectives.
Described as pure evil. That's a good description.
The Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door. Listen and follow now at FoxTrueCrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Get those W-2s ready. Tax season has arrived. It's the Fox Business Tax Tips. Fox News Radio's Ginny Cassola and Hillary Barsky are joined by the hosts of the Fox Business Network to provide you with the latest tips, tricks, and updates on filing your taxes. From deadlines to tax law changes to the latest deductions, we'll cover it all to make sure you keep that hard-earned money where it belongs, in your pocket. Listen and follow the Fox Business Tax Tips at FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Well, this is very serious. People are going to, today people will die in this war. They died yesterday, and sadly, unless there's a ceasefire tonight, they'll die tomorrow. The president wants that to stop. That's what he's interested in here. That's why we came here.
We've gone from if the war is going to end to now how the war is going to end, and this was an important first step.
Secretary of State and the National Security Advisor in Saudi Arabia. Join us tonight to talk about this and more. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, also serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee. He's the author of the new book, number one bestseller, Seven Things You Can't Say About China. Senator, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Brett.
Your reaction, knowing what you know, to this development, also the restarting of weapons and intelligence sharing with Ukraine.
Well, I think it's a welcome development out of Saudi Arabia that Ukraine has agreed what President Trump has wanted for some time now, a brief pause in the fighting that's on the front lines in eastern Ukraine, deep airstrikes between Ukraine and Russia, and then also strikes on the Black Sea, to see if a short pause can turn into a longer end to the fighting. I think that's what the president has wanted all along. He wants Ukraine to get to some framework that will guarantee their sovereign independence, which is a term that he and Vice President Vance continue to use. He wants to have an economic stake in Ukraine's future as well. That's why he's focused on this critical minerals deal. And then I think he wants to present that to Moscow and see if they're willing to stop the fighting.
He was asked about talking to Vladimir Putin. Take a listen.
Mr. President, will you talk to Vladimir Putin about this ceasefire deal? Do you think you need to have a conversation with him to get the Russians
to
agree?
I'll talk to Vladimir Putin, yeah.
When will
I want to get, look, that's the other, it takes two to tango, as they say, right? So hopefully he'll also agree, and I really think that would be 75% of the way. The rest is getting it documented and, you know, negotiating land positions, etc.
You know, as you look at a map of Ukraine, and we haven't seen it change really that much with Russian-occupied territory and where Ukraine has been battling back and forth in the blue, Russia in the red, do you believe that Ukraine is going to give up territory and that Russia is going to agree to this deal without taking big chunks of territory that they currently sit on?
Well, I think what we can say is it's unlikely that either Ukraine or Russia is going to make significant advances on the battlefield at this point. There's a time when Ukraine might have, in fact did, in the fall of 2022, but at this point, gains have been extremely incremental, and that's what President Trump sees. He sees the high number of casualties for very little movement either way. I wouldn't want to prejudge what concessions either side might make, but as President Trump said, it's going to take two to tango, and as Secretary Rubio said in Saudi Arabia, the ball is now going to be in Russia's court. And we have to see if Vladimir Putin is willing to agree to some kind of ceasefire and also agree to some kind of framework. I commend President Trump and President Zelensky here for trying to go the extra mile to bring an end to this fighting, at least temporarily, so you can explore the possibility of a durable, lasting ceasefire that preserves Ukraine's sovereign independence.
President Trump was sending us to Elon Musk in that soundbite there. This is an emotional thing, support for Ukraine and where you stand on the war and how long it's gone. But this back and forth with Senator Kelly the other day and Elon Musk, after Kelly had visited Ukraine on the ground saying, you know, he's supporting the Ukrainian people, Elon Musk tweeted back or on X, "You're a traitor." And obviously, Senator Kelly, your colleague, responded on camera last night.
The only oath I can think of that maybe Elon has sworn is an oath to his own checking account, to his pocketbook, an oath maybe to ruining the lives of veterans. Elon needs to, you know, go back to making rockets.
Well, you're a supporter of Ukraine and the weapons and the intelligence. What about that exchange and what Elon said?
Well, I think it might have been better left unsaid on both sides. I know Mark Kelly. We worked together in the Armed Services Committee and the Intelligence Committee. I think he's wrong. I don't think he's a traitor. I think Elon Musk is a great American as well. Elon Musk has been one of the great industrialists of our age. He works with our Department of Defense. He works with the intelligence community. He has built a company, SpaceX in particular, that is vital to our national security and our space program. So it's not rhetoric that I would use on either side.
I want to ask you about the DOGE efforts and specifically tonight, the Department of Education. It looks like 1,300 are going to be let go. What's your thought about that, the reaction to it, and how it's playing out?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say necessarily this is a DOGE effort. This is President Trump's campaign promise. He campaigned on ending the Department of Education. And I think if you look at what we've spent as a nation since the Department of Education was created in the 1970s and progress that our students have made, you see that the spending goes up pretty steadily and student achievement does not go up to match it. Most education is conducted at the state and the local level. I think what President Trump understandably wants to do is to reduce the amount of spending on bureaucracy here in Washington so we can provide more support at the state and local level where you actually have teachers in classrooms instructing students on needful skills as opposed to spending more and more money as we have for decades now on administrators and bureaucrats.
We've seen just the tip of the iceberg of the tariff battle. April 2nd is the reciprocal tariffs. We've seen what the market reaction has been. Are you worried at all about the long-term impacts of this in world affairs?
Well, I hope what the long-term impacts will be is that we get reciprocal trade agreements with Canada, with Mexico, with the EU, with other countries, because it is true that we have a lot of good partners that we are security allies with, that we are treaty allies with in many cases, yet they still put unjustifiably high tariffs on our products or non-tariff barriers. President Trump has made this a hallmark of both of his terms in office and all three of his campaigns that we need reciprocal trade agreements with our friends. And you've seen some movement in the last 24 hours from the Ontario Premier, for instance, to reduce the limit or the tariff barriers on electricity provided to northern states. I hope that foreign leaders will listen to President Trump and take him seriously when he says we need reciprocal trade agreements.
We always appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Brett.
Thousands of young people are being killed a week, and we want to see that stop. We know where we are with Ukraine, and we are getting good signals outside of Russia as to where we are with Russia. And hopefully they'll do the right thing.
You broke the deadlock. The fact that you did that you started the dialogue with the Russians and the successful talks in Saudi Arabia now with the Ukrainians. I really want to commend you for this.
President Trump meeting with the NATO Secretary General. This as the response from Vladimir Putin. This is the Wall Street Journal. He rejects immediate ceasefire in Ukraine, saying Russia wouldn't agree to an immediate end to the fighting in Ukraine as Moscow's army made rapid gains toward expelling Ukraine's forces from the Kursk region. The idea itself is good, and we, of course, support it, but there are questions we have to discuss, Putin said Thursday. So we move forward. Devil's in the details. Let's bring in our panel. Byron York, Chief Political correspondent of the Washington Examiner, Sabrina Singh, former Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary, and Axios political reporter Steph Kite. Byron, the president said there was optimism to be seen in the Putin response, but what that looks like really tonight is unclear.
Very unclear. But, you know, that Oval Office meeting with the head of NATO was really pretty extraordinary, because I think President Trump was more open than he's ever been in public about the workings of the Ukrainian peace process. Very specifically, he said that the U.S. and Ukraine had discussed post-war borders, what land Ukraine might regain that is lost, what land it would have to give up, the status of a power plant that's in disputed territory, all sorts of stuff that U.S. officials have not normally said in public. Of course, he ended it all by saying, well, it all depends on what Vladimir Putin says. And right now, Putin appears to be throwing obstacles in the way rather than expressing any agreement.
You know, Sabrina, it is carrot and stick with both of these countries. Obviously, we saw the stick with holding back weapons and intelligence sharing with Ukraine to get them to the table. Now that's all back to turned on. The question is what the administration will do with Russia. There was this this waiver that the president was going to have to continue. President Biden put a waiver in. It's called 8L. It essentially prevented any country from using U.S. financial system to purchase Russian oil. It expired a day ago, and there was not a waiver put on, and it's really going to crunch the oil sector in Russia. So that could be part of the plan to really put the squeeze on Russia.
Well, I think exactly what you said. You know, this whole process has been a carrot and stick. And, you know, Ukraine did show up at the table. They showed that they're serious about this peace process. They agreed to this, you know, ceasefire that would go into place. They agreed to suspend maritime and air capabilities if Russia also agreed to that. And so far, we're not seeing that side of Russia being interested. And I think you're seeing Putin basically signaling that they're not interested in the ceasefire because they're not interested in peace. He's interested in continuing his conquest of Ukraine and then potentially continuing on into other NATO countries. And so it is still a carrot and stick process. And exactly what you mentioned, you know, if this administration does not put more sanctions on Russia, is that what Donald Trump is going to use to get Russia to the negotiating table? I think a lot remains to be seen.
Yeah, obviously we've seen that one on oil and U.S. dollars being used to purchase it, but there could be more, including banking. Steph, speaking of the economy, President Trump is threatening a 200% tariff increase on the EU, posting on Truth Social the U.S. will shortly place 200% tariff on all wines, champagnes, alcoholic products coming out of France and other EU-represented countries. And he's saying it would be great for the wine and champagne business in the U.S. And he talked about not backing down at the White House.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly is not backing down. He's leaning into these tariffs, and he's been saying that he wants to go hard on tariffs for a long time now. And so it's not surprising. You know, he said tariffs is the most beautiful word in the dictionary. That's what he came into office saying he was going to do. And I think it's been interesting to see the way Republicans have been giving him a lot of leeway to move forward with this. Tariffs are not something that Republicans have historically been a fan of, but we've seen very limited pushback from Republicans on this issue. They are willing to let Trump kind of move forward and test out this new approach. And we'll see, you know, how this plays out, whether we do start seeing some inflationary repercussions from some of these actions or whether we continue to see Trump lean in and Republicans let him.
Here's what he said in that White House meeting.
We've been ripped off for years and we're not going to be ripped off anymore. No, I'm not going to bend at all. Aluminum or steel or cars. We're not going to bend. There'll be a little disruption, but it won't be very long. But they need us. We really don't need them. And we have to do this.
So the question is, Byron, how much disruption are Republicans willing to stomach before there are some very vocal opposition forces?
Yeah, with the S&P now in correction territory, people lost a lot of money in their 401ks, all of that sort of thing, makes politicians very nervous, as well as just everyday citizens. You know, I think the big Republican question now, and my question too, is whether Trump has any sort of grand plan or very specific plan behind what appears to be kind of a series of chaotic actions. For example, I think he does have a pretty well thought out plan for what to do with Ukraine. Now, is there some sort of plan behind this tariff action? It appears to be absolutely ad hoc, but I haven't talked to the president about it. Not sure what he's really intending to do here.
All right, we've got to lay a lot in there. Panel, thank you so much.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Tamara Wood, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is currently accepting applications from individuals interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or to obtain further information, please visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The grand jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you can be part of. Applications are now being accepted. To apply or get more details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Be part of the solution. Apply today.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.